Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Mark is calling about something completely different. Mark, you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Where do you live? Where do you listen to us?
So I'm about 8 miles south of St. Paul, Minnesota, in, go figure, South St. Paul, Minnesota.
You were playing a board game with your family the other day, is that right?
Yeah, we were playing Scattergories, and there was a very controversial vote that took place based off of one of the answers that I wrote down, and I'm still a little bit bitter about the response that I got from my family members.
Yeah, this is what's happening across the country now. People are playing board games and they're arguing in front of Monopoly games or Boggle games. What was the controversy at your house?
So we're playing Scattergories, and the letter S came, or excuse me, the letter A came up, and the phrasing was items that are sticky, and I wrote down avocado. And I got voted down by all of my family members as they claim that avocados are not sticky.
Stand by. All right, so the category is items that are sticky. It has to be the letter A. Boy, I'm trying to think of alternatives for you. Avocado comes up. Is avocado a good answer for items that are sticky in categories?
I mean, it's certainly not the stickiest thing. I mean, you could easily, as was pointed out to me, go with adhesive. But, you know, that seemed too obvious, because if I write something too obvious, my son and my daughters are also going to put that too, and then we're going to cancel out our points. So you have to think a little bit outside the box a little bit. And I thought I did that very effectively. I'm a history teacher. I like documentation and research and proof and evidence. So I quickly went to the interwebbies and found out that, yep, a Smithsonian magazine has even done an article on avocados and the outsides being very sticky, and that was not enough proof to sway my family back to my side.
Well, I think what's happened here is you're not liked. That's the thing. Because Steve Bertrand, I don't know, avocados sticky? Yes, right?
I would say no, they're not sticky.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Well, here's the thing.
Are they sticky?
They're gooky.
They're mushy.
Are they slippery? An avocado is?
I think he's arguing the outside is what's sticky.
Oh.
Was that your point?
It's true. I mean, well, I would also argue that the inside could be sticky depending on how long the avocado has been out, what it's, you know, transforming into. But definitely the outside of an avocado can be sticky.
How about a soda can? Do you consider that sticky?
Well, it depends.
There's the answer.
What kind of question is that? A soda can. What is your point?
That he has a very wide definition of what might or might not be sticky.
If you open a fresh avocado, but, you know, one that's ripe and ready to be turned into guacamole, that's kind of a sticky, goopy stuff, right?
It's not sticky.
Yeah.
It's mushy.
It's mushy and maybe slippery.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, Mark.
I just have to read a quick sentence to you here. This is from the Smithsonian Magazine.
It's from the Smithsonian Magazine, ladies and gentlemen.
The leading form seems to be a small, shiny black avocado, not much larger than a golf ball, and with dense, sticky flesh.
Boom!
That's the evidence I tried to bring, and it was shot down.
Wow.
And I would agree, John. I think maybe it is just the fact that my family does not like or appreciate me anymore, but... Yeah. You know, that's what's happening all around the country right now.
We've learned a lot more about you than we have avocados just now, I think. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, imagine what my students think.
Hey, I got to go, but just give me a minute on that. So my niece and nephew are high school age. Last week and this week, they're not getting any online learning. They can, but there's no assignments. There's no real-time teaching by the teachers to the students. That will happen after spring break if they're still closed, the schools, but it's not happening. What's happening with you guys?
So very similar in Minnesota. The rest of this week, the governor and secretary of education have shut down schools for distance learning planning to take place this week and a few days last week. My school goes on spring break next week, so we won't do distance learning for about another 2 weeks. And it's tricky and complicated because as we're looking into more federal laws and mandates and such, there's certain requirements that need to be met, have to be met for special ed students, EL or English language students, and even using different formats like Zoom for meetings, Skype for meetings, we have to be very careful on because there's CIPA requirements, Children Internet Protection Agency requirements. So there's still a lot of uncertainty going on in Minnesota with exactly what things are going to look like, but we need to progress and move forward and be ready for an implementation. And so what I'm noticing a lot of my colleagues around the state is just trying to get as many things ready to communicate, but have the flexibility of knowing that not all of our students are going to have the same opportunities and options. So it's delicate. It's tricky.
Right. If you said, okay, everybody, we're going to do online learning, and a family doesn't have a good computer or a computer at all, and those families exist and they can't go to a public library, then are you not going to include those kids in education? I suppose the school could run a laptop out to those families, but that's an infrastructure and a cost issue. So a lot was written over the weekend. I'm sure you know this, Mark, particularly in the New York Times, about what life is going to be like after this. And they see it as a pivot point, not unlike what happened after 9/11. Think about how if you go to a basketball or football game now, you have to run your keys, your wallet, your phone, maybe your watch through a scanner. That didn't used to happen, to say nothing of what happens with TSA at an airport. You still have to take off your shoes and belt. Pre-9/11, the world wasn't like that. They see a lot of things in society changing as a result of this, and many of them for the better. One of the things they point out is education. At the university level, for instance, where it's especially expensive, they're quickly discovering online learning is a very viable option. And I wonder if there's going to be some sort of integration, even at the high school level, not this year, but in the very near future, where they go, you know what? We can educate pretty well over a computer. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's one of the things they're wondering about.
There's elements that I would agree with and elements where I'd say that human connection, just like in any other profession, is desperately needed for a lot of people. When we look at the parallels to 9/11, one of the things that I would be talking with my students right now about if we were in class was exactly what you just said. They've grown up in a world where you've always taken your shoes off at the airport or gone through metal detectors or screenings of certain degrees, where for you and I, that was newer as of 20 years ago. It still happened periodically from here to there, but all these things that are going to change drastically for our students now might wind up being that norm in 10, 12, 15 years. And you're going to start seeing our students making those connections, telling their little siblings, telling their own children in 10, 20 years. Yeah, remember when we used to be able to go outside and actually shake hands with each other, but now we're a lot more aware of what this could do. Or, I mean, just so many different connections that we could make. When it comes to the online component itself, a lot of school districts around the country, including mine, we're a one-to-one iPad district. So almost every single one of our students does have an iPad with them. It was a little bit more tricky and challenging with the elementary students in this past week because they typically don't bring iPads home. So getting those to the students, at my own school, we had about 95% of the families came to pick up their elementary iPads, and then we had a delivery system for the remaining 5%. Our middle school, for example, where I teach, we do a lot of stuff with a program called Schoology, and it's just an online database and forum where students can get information, they can get assignments, they can have chats, they can get feedback. So in one regard, there's a lot of elements that I don't think are going to change drastically for how a lot of our middle school, high school, and even college students receive information. It's just that aspect of not being there to physically bounce ideas off each other. And that's the part that's going to be tricky and complicated for the first few weeks at least.
I got to go, but Mark of the Sticky Avocado fame is a teacher in Minnesota and listens to now and then. Keep up the good work, Mark. Thanks for your thoughts on all of this.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, and best of luck with everything.
Yeah, same to you all up there.